Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome back to the program. Wait, welcome back. Did you join us at 12:05? We're live at 12:05. And if you didn't, don't forget, you can go to knssradio.com, upper right corner, hover over podcast, drop down one to The Good Life, and there you have it. 2.5 years worth of programming, but we like it when you join right at the beginning. And if you had today, you would have heard my introduction of Matthew Cox. He is a well-educated wine educator and wine enthusiast and a wine knowledge geek. And he sent out an article, Vino Voss sent out an article that Matt put together, and it was, does wine go bad? And, of course, a lot of you say yes, and Matt, you said something different. Tell us about the premise of putting this article together and the answer to that question, does wine go bad?
Okay, well, I think all of us, if we're following the law, we learn how to, we learn about food before we learn about wine. So we eat before we start to drink. And we probably shop for food more often than we shop for wine. And we probably eat food more often than we drink wine. So we probably know more about food than we do about wine. And I don't know what you're like, but me, when I know more about one thing, I often assume that something else might be more like it. So it's quite normal to assume that wine, like food, has to have some sort of use-by date, some best-by date, or there might be some consequence if you drink it after you've kept it for too long. But the truth about wine is wine contains two things: alcohol, which is why some of us drink it, and acidity, which is what makes it refreshing to drink. But the levels of alcohol and acidity in wine are high enough that there's no harmful pathogens can actually survive in it. So wine is always safe to drink. You're not going to get sick from drinking it unless you drink too much of it. But the other fact is wine is a living product. And so it does have a life cycle. And like us people, we sort of develop and gain complexity, but then we tend to decline and eventually decay. And wine does go through that sort of process. So no, wine doesn't go off, but as wine evolves, it eventually becomes less enjoyable and less pleasurable to drink. So that's the snapshot answer to that question.
Yeah, and I have such fond memories of our time living in the UK, and we went to a restaurant near the village of Kimbolton, and it was called Côte d'Or, and the owner was, of course, British, and his wife was French. And she would be in the kitchen, he'd be out front, and he was so thrilled to have wines that were aged. And, you know, he had some pretty plonky wines that were 10, 12 years old. And they were good, you know, but and then my neighbors were amazed that a lot of the wines that I consumed there in the UK in my house were newer stuff that I bought on base at the classic store, the wine store, and it was interesting. Okay, so let's talk about aging wine. You know, you and I both know some people say, oh, I only drink wines that are at least 10 years old. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's got to be, firstly, it's got to be about you, the drinker. That's the most important thing. And what facilitates your enjoyment of wine? So you don't need to age a wine for 10 years in order to enjoy it. Some people might not want to have to wait 10 years to enjoy something. Some people might not have the room at home to keep something for 10 years. But basically what happens is there are three types of flavor in wine, and like school, the primary, secondary, and tertiary. And the primary flavors are all things that come from the grape, and they're responsible for a lot of the fruity, floral, herbal aromas that you might, and flavors that you find in wine. Secondary flavors are things that the winemaker has chosen to add, and that comes from doing things like storing wine in oak barrels, where wine soaks into the wood and leaches out compounds that adds flavor to wine, like vanilla. And tertiary flavors are flavors that develop with time. Often when some of the other flavors in wine get the chance to mingle and fuse together to form new compounds. So when you have a young wine, you're mostly going to have primary grape-derived flavors, possibly some secondary flavors from the winemaker. But if you buy a wine age, that's when you begin to get primary, possibly secondary, and tertiary flavors. So aging a wine allows you to potentially enjoy it at a point where it's at its most complex.
Interesting. You know, I think...
But you can do it for too long.
Yeah, and drinking aged wine is, I'm wanting to say, an acquired taste, but it's not quite that complex. It's because of what you like. And most wineries today throughout the world, I think, make wine that is essentially ready to consume when you bring it home. And then you touched on an important point. People ask me this all the time. Well, I love the big fruit aromas and that floral stuff when we first open a wine. And some of the wines that I've saved that I was enamored with in their younger age lose a lot of that. And I say, yeah, and I think you touched on it. But they develop different things, more of those savory, earth, black soil, leather, you know, different aromatic qualities that may not have been there as pronounced when you first opened that bottle. And I think that's where, if you have a beautiful wine and it's been properly stored, it can be a pretty amazing thing. Talk about storage. You know, I have a wine cellar. I imagine you have some form of place to store your wines there in London. And it allows me to buy more wine than I did prior to having a wine cellar. And then by hook or crook, next thing you know, you're looking. And last night we drank some 2006 and 2007 Spanish wines. And they were gorgeous. You know, how do you store wine?
Yeah, I think I have to, as a public service announcement, make a hazard warning for listeners that when you actually acquire a wine cellar or a space to store wine, you will fill it. So you'll suddenly find that you're actually buying more wine, and it's a slippery slope. But I store wine in two places. I'm fortunate enough to have a friend who runs a little wine bar in London. And it's on the side of a former dry cleaners business. So it's actually got a lot of space downstairs. And he's kind enough to let me store a lot of my wine there, where the conditions are much more controlled than they are in my home. So I keep stuff for long term there. Also, when it's not at home, I can't drink it. So it's sort of safe. And then I keep things at home, which are for more immediate consumption.
Yeah.
But the most important thing is, I think there's a big problem with a lot of articles that are out there about wine storage, is that they're all very accurate and they're all very correct, but they're not very useful. And if you read them, you think that people have never actually been inside someone's house, because they want you to have a dark space with no vibration and a temperature that's constantly at sort of a temperature far cooler than what any house ever is. And the truth is that if you're aging wines for that shorter term period, say no more than 10 years, even if you're keeping them at around 66 degrees, which is kind of close to a temperature that a lot of people will maintain their house at, they'll last for that period. So the most important thing is to keep wines out of direct sunlight, so they don't, you're not heating them up, and try and keep them at an even temperature so there's less fluctuation. But if you do that, you should be able to keep most wines at home for up to 10 years, as long as they're intended to last for that period. A lot of wines made today for more immediate consumption that are really focused on those bold, punchy, fruity flavors, they're really designed to last about 3 years. But still, you can keep them at home.
Yes, especially if you
and
don't.
I think
if you don't keep them on top of the refrigerator in the kitchen in a cheapo wine rack, probably not the best place.
Don't keep them next to the oven.
Yeah.
Don't keep them next to a furnace or a boiler. Things that emit heat. But if you just keep them at anyone who has a cat, the best thing to do is, you know where the cat likes to hang out in summer. A cat will always know where the coolest place is in summer and the warmest place in winter.
Interesting.
So yeah. It'll guide you to where in the house you might want to keep your wine.
Well, and the best thing, certainly here in Kansas, most everyone has a basement. And by definition, the basement is usually cooler than the whole house, regardless of the temperature that you set on the thermostat. And that's a good place to store stuff. Crap. Let's take one more quick break. We come back. Matt, I hope you can stay with us for this next break, and we'll continue our chat.
I'll see you then.
Good. Quick break, and we'll be right back, folks. I'm glad you're listening today. Don't forget, every wine that I speak about here is my wine of the week, including this beautiful cava that we're going to talk about later, is available at Jacob Liquor Exchange. The weekly specials for April 4th through 10th, there are so many great buys. I can't read them all to you. I won't. But if you join the email list at Jacob Liquor Exchange on North Rock Road, you would get this every week. And what a great buying opportunity. So many wines, no matter what your wine purse is filled, how it's filled, you can find some great deals. We'll be right back after this break with Matthew Cox and talking more about aging, storing your wine, and then I'll talk about wine faults towards the end.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.